Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal. Hey, Bunty. Welcome back, and welcome back to our listeners as well. Our next episode. So today, final episode that we are doing today, this Sunday, we'll be talking about hunger. There's right. A report out which on hunger index says that India has slipped, I believe, something like 45 positions since the last time it was out, since 2014, I guess. The benchmark that's been used in political discussion is comparing, what it was in UPA's tenure as compared to Modi's tenure. Long story short, again, quickly, some editor with right-wing sympathies wrote to the organization, and they've said that they've changed some index of measurement and so on, so it's incorrect to say that India has slipped 40 places or whatever. But the larger story here is that we have the ranking is lower. In absolute terms, the ranking is lower than what it was. And, this is bad news anyways. If one were to make it a partisan issue, one would say that, this is yet another blemish on the Modi government, especially given their grand claims about the economy, about jobs, about, lessening suffering, about minimizing corruption, so that increasing communal harmony and so on. Beyond that, I think the larger trend is dismaying, because given that we were a country that historically suffered famines which were a product of colonial political economy, we know the Bengal famine, we know the Gujarat famine at the turn of the century. There's been a lot of study on famine, with Amartya Sen saying that democracies don't suffer from famine. We had a risk of, food shortages. We've had the Green Revolution. With a long way to go, we've made a lot of progress, right? Even though India still has more hungry people than sub-Saharan Africa. But the extent to which we have slipped is irrelevant. The fact that we are not continuing to make a big dent in that signals to me that there is a kind of problem here.
I think you've picked a very interesting story on this one. A couple of episodes back, we did something about Amit Shah's son making a disproportionate amount of money. Yeah. And in the public commentary on that, I was very perplexed, because there were people who were saying that, people who don't understand business are making unknown comments. They do not know the difference between turnover, do not know the difference between profit. Mm. And my point in all of this was, okay, whichever side you pick, whether it's turnover or profit, the amount of money passing through the system or the amount of money you keep for yourself, whatever it is disproportionate. So, so where's the problem? And on this one, the reason I'm flagging that up, on this one, I think, for somebody to write to an organization, everybody's within their rights to ask for a clarification. Now, India is a very large country with a very large population. And therefore, in net terms, the number of people who are hungry or who live below a particular nourishment threshold is large. And the fact that it's larger than sub-Saharan Africa is no surprise, because sub-Saharan Africa is hardly populated, right? So that is a fact that we can put to that's a contested fact, and I'm happy to listen to both sides. But the basic fact that doesn't change in this analysis or commentary is that we have slipped from where we were to where we are. So it's not been a journey forward, it's been a journey backwards.
And I'll just give you the figures. The exact is, there's the Global Hunger Index. India ranks 100 among 119 countries, down 45 positions since 2014. So again, the 45 positions is debatable, but our rank today, I don't think this is fudged in any way, that out of 119 nations, our rank is 100. We are worse than North Korea, and I believe we are worse than Iraq, which is we trail Iraq, which is a country that's been devastated by 14 years of war. There is nothing left in large parts of the country. And they, on average, are able to provide their citizens with more food resources and nutrition than we are. And we are an aspiring global superpower, right? We've been emerging for God knows how long. Emerging, emergent, whatever you want to call it. So it just seems very incongruous to me.
Correct. No. I think you're absolutely right talking about the story that we have slipped from where we were, right? What will happen in any story like this is people will question the extent of slippage, the actual numbers that have slipped, and why the arguments are stacked one way or the other. Mm. And I think because we want to call things out as they are, I think the focus of our discussion should be that, you know, the numbers because of the population size can be disputed, you know, but what can't be disputed is the fact that, you know, things have gone downhill in terms of. Now, my question back on this is, again, we do not know the measure. Are they saying that more people are going hungry in India today than in 2014? Because that's the simplest read of it, that in 2014 we were, you know, if we were position 53 in the world, so there were 52 countries who were feeding more of their citizens, right? Or better, you know, I'm just trying to strip it back to, you right. know, common sense language. Today, no. there are 99 countries who feed their citizens in a more effective way. Not that, you know, not that they are cooking meals for their citizens, but, you know, there's provisions for citizens not to go hungry, right? Whether it's state-supported or whether it's without state-support. So there are 99 countries that are better than India, and there are 17 countries in the readout who are worse. And so that is a really, really sad state of affairs.
Right. Excellent question. And I just want to give some facts. So the Global Hunger Index, this is its design. This is from the website of the organization that actually brings out this this report, this index report, the International Food Policy Research Institute, IFPRI. Right. It's so what the Global Hunger Index, or the GHI as it's called, is something that's designed to comprehensively measure and track hunger globally and by country and region. Calculated each year by the IFPRI, the GHI highlights successes and failures in hunger reduction and provides insights into the drivers of hunger. So there's also, like, you know, there's a sort of good imperative out here, which is that by raising awareness, they want to, you know, address the situation. So the method, I think, is a very good sort of point that you raise. And I'm trying to just very quickly see what I can get out here about the method. It's something that will need study. But yes. I think, so it's a good question that, you know, what constitutes hunger? And my sense would be that it would be something like not a person would count as hungry if they didn't receive, you know, X number of calories a day, right? Something
correct, like correct, absolutely. You know, and we and, go back, we go back to our school economic reason. I think at some point the poverty line was shifted in India. Well, by that right. I mean the poverty was defined by a certain calorific intake,
right?
And that got moved up. Right. And there was a huge hangama on the left side of the political yeah. spectrum, because they were saying that let me phrase this correctly. I think either basically what the left was arguing was, in one fell swoop, the government is trying to manage, reduce the number of people who are actually hungry. So suppose I don't know the exact numbers, I don't have them to hand, that it was 1,000 calories or 1,200 calories for an adult. That was the poverty line, and the government said that it is now going forward, it'll be 1,000.
Little less, right? So you make the line. So it's basically the same thing with, you know, the GDP, new series of calculating GDP or whatever is going to work in the favor of the government, right? And, you know, the same, it's interesting you mentioned this, because, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go for it. I'm just saying that, you know, essentially these, when we discuss these things, in order to inject pragmatism and balance, we need to understand that, you know, in a very simple way, what exactly is being signaled or told. And I think that's why I wanted to see that, you know, when we have fallen behind, that's an absolute statement. How much we've fallen behind, because this is the same index that was taken in 2014 and is 2017. So it's not like another organization is doing it. So it's the same people who are keeping score. So if it was credible then, it has to be credible now. So it'll be interesting to see what the defense is for this slippage, and this vast slippage from 47 or 53 in the world to 100 in the world, on the 119, if that's right. The same one.
No, this is a very good point you raise. And I think, again, it's you know, I think you can say that we can spend some time quibbling about the nitty-gritties and the method and all of that. And we've seen this happen, for instance, with nutrition. You know, I found it dismaying that very well-reputed economists like Jagdish Bhagwati and Arvind Panagriya, both of whom who have, you know, had some connection to the Modi government, Panagriya more than Bhagwati, although Bhagwati was expecting something. You know, both of them have really, because of their politics, I feel, you know, painted a much rosier picture of the Gujarat, so-called Gujarat model than exists right. in reality. And There have been some very dismaying figures about stunting. In India, has a large number of children who are stunted because of not receiving adequate nutrition. Gujarat, despite claiming to be an economic success, has the eighth highest number of stunted children in India. So states that are much poorer actually have a better record. So you had Arvind Panagriya, and I don't know if it was Bhagwati or some other co-author with him, actually making the case that, you know, Indian children are shorter on average than other children. I mean, all kinds of, you know, beating around the bush. And to me, the point is that let's even concede you have some argument there. Let's concede that, you know, India has not slipped that badly. We still have a massive number of, you know, hungry people. And why does this become an issue when this foreign institute, you know, releases this report? Like, why is the government more concerned about this number, or even people who are in the opposition? Why are we as a nation more concerned about getting a better score on this report than on an ongoing basis having a project to increase food security, to increase nutrition, to reduce suffering and hunger? That for me is the larger question.
It's a very valid point you're making, Rohit, that, you know, this kind of jostling for international development scorecards, you know, is a little cottage industry in itself, which serves a few, not many. That, and we can talk about it separately on another occasion. I think a couple of quick points to wrap up from my end. I think it's very unfortunate that today there are more hungry people in India. And again, I've tried to qualify and be sensible about how I, you know, label it. But I'm going to keep it very simple. We are not where we were in 2014. We are in a much worse position today. The same people have measured it, come and measured it, and seen that there has been a lapse. Now, should there be other people measuring it? Sure. Will the results be different? Who knows? But the question is, with what little facts we've got, it's sad that, you know, for all our satellite launching, for, you know, all our, you know, jostling in world media, and I think this world media jostling is also a very localized thing, because when you read any world media, and I've been traveling quite a lot recently,
right.
there's no mention of India. It's a self-referencing thing that happens across Bombay, Delhi, and Bangalore, with the rest of the world actually not giving a rat's ass. But that's another story. So it's lamentable, and I think I hope that the government do basic things for people, which is ensure that school meals are provided. If people where with this kind of very pointed Aadhaar system now coming into being, there should be less reason why a person should go hungry, because, you know, you can tell as the state, if you're monitoring this person on you know, how much you know, ration he's picking up, how much aid state benefits is he's getting, you should be able to take a more proactive stance. So I hope this score improves, and, you know, whether this score or a general measure, that people don't have to go hungry in a country like India.
It's an excellent point. I don't think I have anything to add to that, and I think you're right. We should talk about this, this development industry in India, maybe have one or even two episodes on it, because I have a thing or two to say about it too, and I think a lot of people would agree with us. I'll also very quickly add here that for whether it was based in reality or not, the Congress government was seen as a sort of, you know, being hand in hand with some kind of international NGO racket. Now, the degree of truth to that, I don't know. But it speaks to the fact that there is a kind of suspicion about, you know, the sort of well-heeled development expert who jet sets across the world business class to talk about poverty. Anyway, I think we've had a long episode for this particular one, so maybe we'll wrap up here. Okay, Bunty, we'll be back again to our listeners. For our listeners, we'll be back again in a week. And you take care, man, and have a great rest of your Sunday.
All right. Take care. Take care. Bye. Chalo. Bye-bye.